And some people kind of jumped to the conclusion that this was going to affect the genealogy of the whole family moving forward.
Welcome to Genotypecast, a new podcast from Gray Genetics. Genetics isn't always black and white. News stories related to genetics often raise more questions than they answer. On Genotypecast, we bring you insight from genetic counselors. I'm your host, Eleanor Griffith, a certified genetic counselor and the founder of Gray Genetics, an independent telehealth genetic counseling and consulting service.
Stem cell donations and therapies need to be openly discussed and documented when they happen because of potential implications for criminal investigations.
My guest today is Brian Kirkpatrick. Brian is a certified genetic counselor and the founder of Watershed DNA, which encompasses a private practice genetic counseling service and also a blog. In her private practice, she focuses on counseling individuals who are considering direct-to-consumer testing, as well as individuals who have been surprised by the results of their direct-to-consumer testing. Brian has also recently co-authored a book, The DNA Guide for Adoptees. My husband first mentioned this article to me, and based on what he said about the headline, I was just like, oh, this is just much ado about nothing. If you've had a bone marrow transplant, of course you have someone else's DNA in you. and then I started reading and I was like, oh, okay, this is new. This is a little different. So what about this case was new or surprising to begin with?
So I think what was different is that they followed him over time and tested him at multiple times over the course of up to 4 years. And they noticed that the amount of the percentages of his DNA compared to the donors fluctuated over time. And what seemed to really stand out to at least the person writing the article was the fact that the semen sample became 100% the donor. And then there were some paragraphs about for the implications of this on the fertility of the heredity or the, inheritance of future generations. And I thought that the article was actually got really confusing at that point because there wasn't enough background information to explain to just a typical reader that doesn't have a genetics background to understand that, no, this doesn't have implications for children born to people who have received a stem cell donation or bone marrow transplant.
They were just commenting on the DNA in his semen, also not even talking about the sperm to begin with, right?
Right. Yeah, they only mentioned the semen and didn't explain the, they'd mentioned that he had had a vasectomy and that some experts they had asked about it had said, oh, there's no way this would impact future generations. But based on the discussions I saw in some of the genealogy groups I'm a part of, readers were left very confused. And some people kind of jumped to the conclusion that this was going to affect the genealogy of the whole family moving forward. And so the story itself wasn't really that shocking to me. And it's already been reported that people who have a transplant become chimeras. So that wasn't new. I'm still scratching my head to understand why exactly this particular abstract from the conference where it was presented, why this one was the one that made it all the way to the New York Times. But at least more people will know now that stem cell donations and therapies need to be openly discussed and documented when they happen, because of potential implications for criminal investigations. The fertility side of it is not concerning, but I think we just need to do more education on that, I guess.
You wrote a great blog post on your website that we'll include in the show notes, responding to the New York Times coverage of the case of a bone marrow recipient with altered DNA results. What kind of, you respond within that blog article to a lot of confusion that you were hearing. So what kind of reactions were you hearing from people that led you to write the blog post to try to clarify some of that confusion that came out of the article?
Yeah, I wrote the blog post to explain the difference between semen and sperm, and the fact that sperm cells are haploid cells, meaning they have a half half of the amount of DNA, one set of chromosomes instead of two chromosomes, and two sets of chromosomes. And
so 23 instead of 46.
Correct. And that a donor's cells that come from like a blood, you know, blood sample or a stem cell donation, those are diploid cells, meaning they have two sets of chromosomes. And those can't just automatically, you know, convert into haploid sperm cells. So there's really not this concern that the donor's DNA is ever going to be what's passed on to children conceived by the person who's received the donation.
Right. Which, I mean, for this individual, he had a vasectomy, but if people are thinking about the same sort of situation where someone hasn't had a vasectomy and concerned about their own children having a different father, like, wrong thing to worry about.
Right. They can, right. People who've had a stem cell donation do not need to be worried that their children are going to be conceived by the donor's DNA. That's not going to happen.
Are there any other major points or implications related to this case that you think people should be aware of?
Well, I think the two main points were the implications to criminal investigations. And I think that is something that kind of needs to continue to be discussed when we're talking about using DNA evidence to, you know, convict and try somebody for a crime. We need to make sure that all possibilities, including, you know, stem cell donation, has been considered. And then the second point was the implications to, you know, future generations, which I think we covered that. So no, I'm glad that you chose this article to have a discussion about, because it's really an opportunity for genetic counselors to educate and kind of set people straight when they get confused about these, you know, mass media coverage of DNA stories.
Right. It was a catchy headline.
Got my attention.
If you are a certified genetic counselor and would like to come on GenotypeCast to talk about an issue related to genetics in the news, send an email to podcast@graygenetics.com. One related issue that Brian and I did not talk about is our reliance on fibroblast testing in cancer genetics for patients who have had a bone marrow transplant. So if you work in cancer genetics and would like to talk about that, send an email to podcast@graygenetics.com.
The information contained in this podcast does not constitute medical advice and is also not a substitute for genetic counseling. Neither Gray Genetics nor any of its guests makes any representation or warranty as to the accuracy or completeness of the statements or any information contained in this podcast. Evaluation of an individual's personal and family health history is a crucial part of genetic counseling and any recommendations.